طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our ninth session from Arabic lessons in Hadith level 2 المستوى الثاني from the Islamic University of Medina Arabic program. And today inshallah we're going to take our ninth Hadith. But before we start with the hadith today, we're going to review quickly the hadith from last week. In each class, inshallah, we're going to try to review the hadith from the previous week and maybe some of the other hadith, depending on time. Since the class is actually going to be shortened by 15 minutes these days due to the changing time of the salat, so our review of the previous hadith is going to be a little bit limited in these next few sessions. But in any case, we still need to review at least the hadith from the previous week. So the hadith from last week was hadith number 8. Does anybody remember hadith number 8? Who was the narrator of the hadith? Who was the companion who narrated the hadith? Naam, Murshid. Abi al-Marthad al-Ghanawi radiallahu anhu. Naam. Who remembers the collector? Which scholar of hadith collected that hadith? Muslim, Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. Tayyib. So the hadith from last week, somebody who has memorized it, we want to hear somebody recite it from memory. Take your time, recite it slow and loud and clear, inshallah. You want to go first? Nasir. No, I mean, it doesn't matter. You want to go first?
That's right, yeah.
Tayyib, Mustafa.
What's the hastening to do good?
Hastening to do good, Tayyib, now.
نعم
المبادرة
right.
إلى الخيرات طيب غناوي والشدة on the yeah نعم سمعت
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تصلوا
plural
لا تصلوا إلى قبور ولا تجلسوا عليها رواه مسلم
أحسنت طيب نصيحة loud and clear
عن أبي
عليكم السلام
عن أبي مرثد بن الغنوي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها رواه مسلم
نعم أحسنت anybody else نعم مرشد
عن أبي مرثد الغنوي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها رواه مسلم
أحسنت طيب this hadith that we had last week is also يعني from those hadith which we consider to be manageable in that the length of the hadith is relatively short. It's not a very lengthy hadith. Inshallah, everybody should try to memorize it. There are a few hadith in this course, and maybe three or four hadith that are a little bit lengthy. The rest of them are reasonable. Everybody should be able to memorize them. Okay, so our goal is to memorize all of the hadith, to understand their meanings, and also the grammatical points that may be contained in any hadith. Hopefully, most of us will be able to memorize most of the hadith. Some of us, inshallah, will memorize all of them. I have no doubt about that. But everybody should at least memorize, yani whatever you can, according to your ability, try to memorize, yani as many as possible. We have 20 hadith, yani 10 of them are very short hadith. Maybe another 5 or 6 are reasonable, and maybe like 3 hadith are somewhat long. But also they are manageable, inshallah, for those who have younger memories. Huh? As far as those who are past 60, you have a pass. Any meaning that you might not memorize all 20, but at least most of them. As far as the youngsters, there's no pass. You have to memorize, okay? So this hadith that we had last week, very important hadith on the authority of Abi Marthadin. Abi Marthadin al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu qal Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. Yani Abi Marthad al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I heard him, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, La tusallu ila al-kuburi. Notice the preposition here is ila. Yani, don't pray towards the graves. Do not pray, do not perform salat towards the graves. Wala tajlisu alayha. Here the preposition is what? Ala. Ila and ala. Don't pray towards the graves and do not sit upon them. La tusallu ila al-kuburi. Don't pray towards the graves, in the direction of the grave, facing graves. وَلَا تَجْلِسُ عَلَيْهَا And do not sit upon them. Do not sit upon them. So this hadith is a very important hadith. It contains two prohibitions from the Prophet ﷺ. Don't pray towards the graves and don't sit upon them. Yani, don't pray towards the graves, meaning don't yani exalt or glorify the graves by praying towards them. And don't yani belittle them or disrespect them by sitting upon them. Yani, don't go to either extreme. Ta'zim, raising them up so high you pray towards them like you pray towards the Kaaba. Nor belittle them or disrespect them by sitting upon them. Yani, both of these are prohibited. Yani, the graves are not to be exalted. They are not to be worshipped, nor are they to be disrespected. Yani, this is the moderate course, al-wasatiyya, that is the way of the Prophet ﷺ, and the core essence yani of the manhaj of the Muslim, that we have the middle course. We don't go to either extreme. We don't go to either extreme. Okay, again, the hadith is on the authority an Abi Marthadin al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu qal, that he said, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. He heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying these two things, la tusalli ila al-kubur wa la tajlisu alayha rawahu Muslim. Any question about this hadith from last week? Any of the words, anything that's in it that's not clear to us? Before we go on to the hadith for today. Tayyib. The hadith for today is the hadith number 9, the 9th lesson on page 21. Hadith number 9, 9th lesson, page 21. And in the middle of the page, we have Ad-Darsu At-Tasi'u. Wa alaykum as-salam. Ad-Darsu At-Tasi'u, meaning the ninth lesson. Ad-Darsu At-Tasi'u, yani Tasi'u from Tis'a, yani from the number 9, Tis'a, Tasi'u. Tayyib, says an Abdillahi ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, an Abdillahi ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Yani the narrative of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. He said, yani qal, sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ayyu al-amali ahabbu ila Allah. Yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah, sa'altu, yani from the verb sa'ala, ana sa'altu. He said, I asked, sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what question did he ask? Ayyu al-amali, ayyu al-amali, yani ayyu al-amali, which deed, which of the deeds that a person can do, acts of worship that a person can do, ayyu al-amali. Here, the word ayyu, it's a question word, ism istifham, and it is connected in idafa to al-amal. So ayyu here, yani, it doesn't have tanween. Pay attention that in this first use of the word ayyu, there's no tanween because it's in idafa. And remember that the first part of the idafa construction, the mudaf, never takes alif lam or tanween. As opposed to when we see it again, we're going to see it with tanween the next two times. So pay attention. The word ayyu came in this hadith three times. The first time it has a single dhamma. And the second and third time it has tanween, dhammatain. Alright? Here it is not an idafa. So it takes tanween, doesn't have alif lam, it takes tanween. In the first case, there's no tanween because it is mudaf. And the first part of idafa construction, the mudaf, never takes tanween. Okay, so in the first usage, it's without a tanween, it's ayyul amali. Ayyul amali. Which of all types of deeds, ahabbu, is most beloved? Ilallahi, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahabbu ilallahi. Yani meaning the most acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves it the most. Yani he wants to know which deeds will be more pleasing to Allah. Yani will be more acceptable to Allah, will be more rewardable with Allah. Yani akthar thawaban, the most reward. Wa akthar qubulan, the most acceptability. Yani ayyu al-amali ahabbu ila Allahi. And this reminds us that sometimes we do things, I don't mean you particularly, I'm saying human beings. We do things to please other people. But the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, like Abd al-Mas'ud, they wanted to know what's more pleasing to Allah. Not what's more pleasing to your best friend, to your spouse, to your children, your parents, or whoever. Rather, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most important thing. Ayyul amali ahabbu ila Allahi. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to do deeds that are pleasing to our parents. Now, that's part of birru walidain. Pleasing your parents, being kind to them, being generous with them, being obedient to them. But first and foremost, obedience to Allah and pleasing Allah. Ayyu al-amali ahabbu ila Allahi. Qal, yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by saying, as-salatu ala waqtiha. As-salatu ala waqtiha. Meaning, the salat which is performed upon its time. Yani literally upon its time. The meaning is fi waqtiha, in its proper time. Yani the meaning of ala here is fi. Huh? As-salatu ala waqtiha. Waqt means time. Ala waqtiha. Waqti here is majrur with kasra because of the preposition ala. Waqtiha. Yani its time. The ha is referring to what? To the salat, to the salat. Yani the salat that's performed in its time, the proper time for the salat. And some of the narrations of the hadith reported by At-Tabarani and Al-Awsat and Al-Kabir, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, as-salat fi awwali waqtiha. And in another narration, li awwali waqtiha, meaning the prayer which is performed in the beginning of its time. In the beginning of its time. And this is a general rule, that the best time for the prayer is in the beginning of its time, except that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to, especially in the Isha prayer, he used to look and see if the people were in attendance, most of the people, he would pray it quickly. And if the people were not in attendance, then he would delay the Isha prayer until most of the people came. Otherwise, the general rule is the best time for the prayer is in the beginning of its time. In the beginning of its time. And that's the meaning, what is given here. The best of these, most beloved to Allah, is as-salatu ala waqtiha. Yani notice, there are 2 points here, right? The best of these is the salat, and also in its time, in its proper time. Not just salat, out of its time, but salat within its time, in the prescribed time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for it. After this, he said, yani as-salatu ala waqtiha, qultu, that is Abdul Mas'ud, said, I said, thumma ayyun, then which? Yani then which of the deeds is most beloved to Allah? Thumma ayyun. Qala, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, birru al-walidaini. Birru al-walidain. This is also mudhaf, mudhafun ilayhi. Birru al-walidaini. Yani meaning being dutiful to the parents. The father and the mother. Or we should say the mother and the father, right? Because the mother has more right to good companionship. In any case, both of them, right? The parents. Being dutiful to parents. Meaning being obedient to them in that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being kind to them. Being generous with them. Being humble and submissive to them. Yani being good with your parents. Treating them well. Birru walidain. This is very important. Notice, that of the most beloved deeds to Allah, and there are other hadith that mention other things too, by the way, right? But of the most, yani in this hadith, yani the Prophet ﷺ mentioned first the right of Allah, salat ala waqtiha. And then he mentioned after that the right of parents. And how many times in the Quran came, huh? Obedience to Allah, yani being good to, being obedient to Allah, and yani your parents, fulfilling the rights of parents together. Yani, as though, yani after your the rights of Allah, yani there's nothing, yani that, yani goes above that, beyond that first, but after that immediately comes, yani the right of parents. He said, ثم, يعني قلت ثم أيٌ, I said, then what? He, the Prophet said, being dutiful to parents, بر والدين, قلت, يعني Abdul ibn Mas'ud, he said, I said, ثم أيٌ, then which? يعني which of the deeds is most beloved to Allah after that? Then he said, قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet said, الجهاد في سبيل الله, يعني الجهاد in the way of Allah, متفق عليه, يعني متفق عليه, it is agreed upon. Yani this hadith is agreed upon by who? By Al-Bukhari and Muslim. This is special terminology that's used in yani hadith science. Muttafaqun alayh means it's agreed upon. But here it means specifically agreed upon by these two scholars, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim. And what did they agree upon? Huh?
Same companion and same narrator.
Okay, but yani the what is intended here is the authenticity of the hadith, that Al-Bukhari and Muslim both agree that this hadith is sahih, and this is why it is said, and we don't want to get sidetracked here, but in any case, yani as a point of hadith studies, it is said that the most authentic of hadith is that which is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, yani meaning that they both agree it's sahih, and then after that what is considered to be sahih by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, second level, and third level, that which is considered to be sahih according to Imam Muslim alone, yani, and then yani according to their conditions, the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim, even though they didn't collect it, or the conditions of Bukhari and Muslim and so on, to what follows that. So the highest level of authenticity is that which is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as being sahih, authentic. And the next level is that which Bukhari himself yani alone agree, yani considered to be sahih, even though Muslim didn't narrate that hadith in his book. And after that is that which is narrated by Imam Muslim that Bukhari didn't narrate in his book. Yani these are the highest three levels of authenticity of hadith. That which is agreed upon as being authentic by Bukhari and Muslim, and then that which Bukhari alone yani collects in his sahih, and that which Muslim alone collects in his sahih. Again, yani the three things that are mentioned in this hadith, the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salat ala waqtiha, prayer in its time. Yani prayer in its time. And the second of those things is what? Birru walidain, yani being dutiful to parents. And the third of them is al-jihad, striving in the way of Allah. And the striving in the way of Allah, yani is for what? The protection and preservation of the deen of Allah for the Muslim society. Yani this is the right of Allah over the individuals, and this is the right of the parents, and this is the right of the mujtama'a, the society, that Islam be preserved in the society so that people can worship Allah alone without interference, without interference. Okay, one more time, yani the hadith is on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu qal, سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله. No, I don't. But maybe you could just slide it, yeah? Somebody will pick it up. أي العمل أحب إلى الله. Which deed is most beloved to Allah? That is, he, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, yani the performance of the prayer in its proper time, or in some of the narrations in the beginning of his time. Qultu thumma ayyun, yani he, the narrator, said, I asked, then which deed is most beloved to Allah after that? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, birru walidain, being dutiful to parents. Qultu, that is Abdul Mas'ud said, thumma ayyun, then which deed is most beloved to Allah after that? Qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-jihadu fi sabilillah, and he's striving in the way of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the purpose of making the word of Allah uppermost in the earth, not for land acquisition, or acquisition of wealth, or acquisition of whatever of the worldly things, but for the sake of Allah alone. This hadith is muttafaqun alayhi, yani with shadda on the ta, muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon by al-Bukhari and Muslim as being authentic. Any question about the words of this hadith? Any word in here that's not clear to us? Any word that anybody doesn't know? Yes. There's no what?
Alif.
No alif, no. Yani the rules for the writing of the Hamza, yani the Hamza in the word Ibn and Ism, yani are related to yani a number of points. Yani we don't want to go into the details of it now, but when the name of a person is mentioned with the name of his father and Ibn is between them on the same line, not separated on two different lines, then there's no need to write the Aleph, which represents Hamzatul Wasl. When they're written like this, it's not written. But if they are separated, or yani the name is with a title and not a two proper nouns, the name of the father and the son, then that's when the Aleph is written, which represents Hamzatul Wasl. This is a point that we don't have time to go into now because our time is short today. But in any case, sometimes it's written with that Aleph, which is really representing Hamzatul Wasl. The Hamza that's added to a word, because the word originally begins with Sukoon. And this word originally begins with Sukoon. You see also there's no Hamzatul Wasl written here in Ism, in Bismillah. Yani the word be, the preposition be, is followed by the word Ism. But we don't have any Aleph there, no Hamzatul Wasl there either. And that is, you know, another matter that we should look at. But in any case, the point is, sometimes words that are written with Hamzatul Wasl are written with the Aleph for Hamzatul Wasl, and sometimes they're written without it. And that's something that we could talk about maybe in detail on another occasion. Any question about the words here? Now,
The word jihad doesn't just mean like fighting, but it also means
the word jihad. Okay, this is not yani. We don't have the time to go into the details of this right now. But jihad literally means striving, struggling, making an effort. That's what it literally means. Yani, is it applicable to fighting? Nah, it's applicable to fighting. But is it only applicable to fighting? Obviously not. No, there's jihad yani and nafs. Yani that a person strives against their nafs to control themselves from doing evil. This is also yani striving, and this is the striving that a person yani has to do all the time, every day throughout their life. Whereas the one of fighting is something that a person might do for a few days of their life on a few occasions, or they may never actually participate in that. This one, the striving against your nafs, is the one that is required of every Muslim every day throughout your life. And this is very, very important that we don't imagine that this one, the fighting that we are thinking about here, that is normally understood from jihad, we should not be yani left to imagine that this is so great that we forgot about that which is upon us all the time, all the time. And that is to strive against yani the nafs al-ammara bisu, that calls you to do evil. Naam. So the meaning of it is striving. It might mean yani exerting yourself physically on the battlefield, yani with the proper rules and conduct that is legislated in the Sharia, or it may mean any kind of striving in general. Naam.
Use your wealth. That's what my question.
Striving in any way, in the way of, if it's in the way of Allah, as long as it's something that Allah has legislated, yani whatever you strive with, your wealth, yourself, yani your position, your status, whatever it may be, yani whatever a person is able to do, then all of this is yani expected from the Muslim. Okay, okay, let's try to read the hadith, yani just so that we make sure that we're pronouncing the words correctly, and then we're going to look at the discussion that follows and the questions and move right along. Okay, let's try to read it together. An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل وإف يو جوين ذم توجذر أي العمل أحب إلى الله قال الصلاة على وقتها قلت meaning I said ثم أي قال بر الوالدين قلت ثم أي قال الجهاد في سبيل الله متفق عليه. In some of the narrations of this hadith, just as a note, يعني Abdul ibn Mas'ud, after he narrated this saying from the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَحَدَّثَنِي بِهِنَّ. The Prophet, يعني, spoke to me, he narrated to me these things. He informed me of these three things. وَلَوْ اسْتَزَدْتُهُ لَزَادَنِي. And if I had asked him more, he would have given me more. نعم. He would have given me more. And we know that in other narrations, and there are other hadith that mention other things such as al-iman in Allah and doing yani deeds constantly, consistently, even if they're little, and other things that are mentioned yani in various authentic hadith as being that which is most beloved to Allah. There are a number of things that have been mentioned, but this is what is mentioned in this hadith. And if we have time, we might talk about some of what the scholars said concerning the fact that sometimes the Prophet ﷺ answered the same question in different ways to different people in consideration of the circumstances of that person, the needs of that person, the circumstances, the time of that, the occasion for that, what was more needed at that particular time, and so on. So there's no contradiction, but rather the Prophet ﷺ, he used to carefully think about the person, the situation, the circumstance, and give the answer that was most suitable for that particular person at that particular time, and so on. Now, okay, so let's read the explanation that comes after this hadith. The first thing, as-salatu ala waqtiha, as-salatu, this is the wording that came in the hadith as the first thing that's most beloved to Allah, as-salatu ala waqtiha, a means i.e., that is, the meaning of as-salatu ala waqtiha, fi waqtiha. Yani ala waqtiha means fi waqtiha. Yani the most beloved thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the salat which is performed fi waqtiha, in its time, yani in its proper time. The second expression, al-walidani, in the hadith, the expression came, birru walidaini. And here we have in our notes, al-walidani. Huh? So al-walidani, it means the two parents. And al-walidaini also means the two parents. But this word, because it's a muthanna, dual word, when it is marfu'un, the sign that it's marfu'un is what? Alif. Walidani. And when it's majroor, as it is in this case, mudawfun ilayhi majroor or mansoob, the sign that is majroor mansoob is
yeah.
So that's why we have walidani with alif, and here we have in the hadith walidaini with yeah, because this word is dual, and yani from the secondary signs of i'rab, when a word is marfu'un, yani it might be other than dhamma. Yani primary sign when a word is marfu'un, in the nominative case, we say it takes dhamma at the end, but there are secondary signs for words that are dual, words that are plural, and so on. So this is from the secondary signs. In this hadith, the word walidani came as walidaini because it is mudaf ilayhi, yani connected to bir, and the mudaf ilayhi is always majroor. So the sign that a word that's dual is majroor is that it takes ya instead of alif. So the original word is al-walidani, and here in this hadith, because it's majroor, it's walidaini. Whoever never took this point or didn't study this point of grammar, don't worry so much about it. But if you had it before, then you should remember it well, because it's a very important point here. Al-walidani, the meaning of al-walidani, or as it came in the hadith, al-walidaini, is al-abu wal-ummu. Ummu with shadda on the meme. Al-abu wal-ummu. Huh? Meaning what? Al-abu, the father, and al-umm, the mother. So the meaning of al-walidani or walidaini means al-ab wal-um, the father and the mother. The next word, birru walidaini, yani meaning dutiful to parents. The meaning of birru walidaini is ta'atuhuma. Yani ta'a, it means obedience. Ta'atuhuma means, this is the pronoun huma, means the two of them. Obedience to both of them, yani the two parents. Birru walidaini means obedience to both of them, being dutiful to both of them. In what? In every and anything? No. Fi al ma'ruf. Fil ma'ruf. Being obedient to them in ma'ruf. What is al ma'ruf? Not just doing good, but you know we have al amr bil ma'ruf and nahy al munkar, right? Yani commanding the good and forbidding the wrong. What is al ma'ruf though? Good? Naam, good. But not just good, because what he thinks is good might be different than what she thinks is good. Huh? But ma'ruf means that which is considered to be good by Allah and His Messenger in the Sharia of Allah. Yani what the Sharia considers as good. Because certainly there are people in America who consider two men marrying each other as good. They consider it good. They made it lawful. And they made it haram for anybody to say anything against it. They might lock you up. Huh? So good here we mean by what? Good according to the Sharia, according to Allah and His Messenger. Okay, so obedience to parents in that which Allah considers good. Not obedience to parents when they tell you, go to church, go buy me some alcohol, or some drugs, or commit some sin. No, we don't obey in that. We obey our parents in that which is obedience to Allah, not in disobedience to Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in authentic hadith, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله. لا طاعة, there is no obedience for a created being, fi ma'asiyatillah, in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here the meaning of what? Birru walidain, it means ta'atuhuma fil ma'aruf, obedience to the two of them in that which is considered to be good in the Sharia of Allah. Wal ihsanu ilayhima, and also, yani al ihsan ilayhima, yani treating them with ihsan, with all kinds of good treatment and kindness and mercy and compassion and generosity. Al-Ihsan. Naam. Wadidduhu al-uququ. Wadidduhu, yani diddu al-birr. The opposite of birr, birru walidain, the opposite of it is al-uquq. Al-uquq means what? Disobedience. Disobedience. Yani al-uquq, disobedience to parents. Yani birru walidain, being kind and dutiful, obedient to our parents, in that which Allah considers to be good. And the opposite of al-birr, birru walidain, the opposite of it is al-uquq, disobedience. And then there's a note connected to birr. Yani birr means kindness, goodness, dutifulness, right? And then we have وَالَّذِي يَبَرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ بَرٌّ وَبَارٌ. Huh? وَالَّذِي يَبَرُّ, yani the one who, yani who observes birr, the one who observes birr to his parents, to the walidain, this one is called بَرٌّ. It should be a shadda on the ra. بَرٌّ, yani ba fatta Ra with Shadda and Tanween, Dhammatain. Should be Barrun. This is the noun the person is described with who is dutiful to parents. They call him Barr. And he's also called Barr. Yani with elongation, yani Ba Fatta Aleph and Ra with Shadda again. So it's either Barr or Barr. Both of these are nouns that are used to describe one who observes birr. The one who observes birr with kasra is called barr with fatha or barr. And then it says jam'u al-barri, yani the plural of the first of them, barr, the plural of the first of them is abararun. And the plural of the second of them, yani jam'u al-barr, is bararatun. Yani these are two words that have the same meaning, bar and bar. And the plural of bar is what? abrar. And the plural of bar is barara, with ta marbuto on the end. Okay, so these are two words that have the same meaning. Each of them has a separate plural. Each of them has a separate plural. The second of them, yani al-bar, the plural of it is on the following page, barara, barara, bararatun. طيب, is this clear? The meaning of birru walidain, and the one who is dutiful to parents is called bar or bar, and the plural of the each of them, yani the plural of bar is what?
Abrar.
Abrar, and the plural of bar, bararatun. طيب, after this, al-jihad, the meaning of al-jihad, yani the obvious meaning of al-jihad, the normal meaning that is understood from this expression is al-qital fi sabilillah. But as we said in answer to the brother's question, yani fighting in the way of Allah is not the exclusive meaning of al-jihad fi sabilillah. Rather, its meaning is much broader than this. Certainly, it includes fighting, and it also includes striving in the way of Allah in other things. And this is very important that we don't forget this, so that a person doesn't forget that every day we are required, yani, to strive in the way of Allah, yani, against, yani, whatever is turning us away from Allah. Type after this, the word ayy, yani hamza with fatha, ya with shadda. This word, it can take tanween, yani if it's not an idhafa, normally it is used in idhafa. The word that follows it will be mudafun ilayhi majrur, and in that case it would not take tanween, it would take a single vowel, whether it's dhamma, kasra, or fatha, depending on its place in the sentence. It will take any vowel, but if it's in idhafa, it would not take tanween. So here, and we're looking at this word ay taqulu. Here are some examples of how it's used. You say ayyu talibin. Notice that it's in idhafa to the word following it, so it doesn't have tanween. Ayyu talibin ghaba al-yawma. Yani ayyu talibin means what?
Which
student? Ghaba al-yawma, was absent today. Okay, so again we see that the word here, because it's used in idhafa, doesn't take tanween. Ayyu talibin ghaba al-yawma. Which student was absent today? The second example, min ayyi baladin anta. Min ayyi baladin anta. Here again, it's used in idhafa, so it doesn't have tanween. But note here, it has kasra. It has kasra. Okay, we said that this word can take dhamma, kasra, or fatha. So we see here, min ayyi baladin anta, meaning from which country or land are you? We're looking at examples of the use of the word ayy, and we are looking here to see how this word, its vowel may change depending on its position grammatically in the sentence. Wa alaykum salam. So in the first example, we had ayyu talibin ghaba al-yawma, yani ayyu here is marfu'un. And in the second example, we have min ayyi with kasra, min ayyi baladin anta, from which land are you, yani what country are you from? And here, ayyi is majrur because of the preposition min. And the third example, we have ayya kitabin turidu. Ayya with fatha. Ayya kitabin. And in each of these cases, it's mudaf, so it doesn't take tanween, but we see the vowel changing from dhamma to kasra to fatha. The meaning of ayya kitabin turidu?
Which book do you want?
Ayya kitabin. Which book turidu do you want? From arada yuridu anta turidu. Ayya kitabin turidu. Here ayya is mansub because of what? Huh? Mafulun bi. The mafulun bi from turidu. Yani the normal order that you would think this sentence would be in, turidu ayya kitabin. You want which book? But because ayya is from the ism istifham, laha sadara. Yani the question words that are used to ask questions always have the right to be in the beginning of the sentence. So whenever you see a word that's asking a question, yani ماذا, كيف, أين, these words always have the right of being first in the sentence. وعليكم السلام. So for this reason, ayya came first, but it's the object of the verb turidu. Turidu ayya kitabin. So it's mansub, yani maf'ulun bi mansub The sign that's mansub is fatha. After this, the last point here is the word sa'ala. Sa'ala. Yani this came in the hadith where? Where did this come in the hadith? Sa'altu. Yani Abdul Mas'ud said, yani sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I asked. So the verb that this word came from in the hadith is sa'ala yas'alu. Sa'ala is the fi'l madi, past tense. Yas'alu is the fi'l mudari, present tense. Well, masdar, the infinitive, is su'alun. 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 Alright, any question about any of these words before we go to the questions? Tayyib, munaqisha, the discussion concerning this hadith in two parts. The first part, ajib amma ya'ti, answer concerning what follows. Answer the following questions. First question, ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لابن مسعود ثلاثة أمور هي أحب الأمور إلى الله ما هي يعني the question ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لابن مسعود ثلاثة أمور what is the meaning of this question ذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned li-ibni mas'udin to ibn mas'ud he mentioned to him thalathata umurin three things thalathata umurin hiya ahabbu al-umuri ilallahi They. Hiya is referring back to what? The three affairs, the three matters. That is umur. Hiya, these three things, hiya, they are ahabbu al-umur ila Allah. The most beloved affairs to Allah. Ma hiya. What are they? First of them, in order. First of them is what? Who knows? Naam, nasiya. As-salatu ala waqtiha. The second of them in order. Birru walidain, the third one, Abdurrahman? Al-jihadu fi sabirillah. Second question. Ayyu al-amali ahabbu ilallah. Yani this statement, Ayyu al-amali ahabbu ilallah. Man qala hadha waliman. Man qala hadha waliman. Be careful, huh? The statement. أيّ العمل أحب إلى الله؟ من قال هذا؟ نعم، عبد الكريم. لا. من قال هذا؟ Who said this? Who said this? نعم، نسيا. عبد الله ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. ولمن؟ What's the meaning? ولمن؟ نعم، ولمن؟ To who? To whom did he say this? يعني من قال هذا who said this ولمن and to whom did he say it okay who said it عبد المسعود ولمن he said it نعم to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم طيب after this third question اذكر حديثا في فضل الصلاة على وقتها اذكر حديثا في فضل الصلاة على وقتها نعم what is the meaning of the question mention a hadith showing the what the virtue the excellence the superiority of the prayer at its proper time نعم
عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله قال الصلاة على وقتها
stop الصلاة على وقتها جيد notice here right in this hadith عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت I didn't emphasize this but pay attention here سألت رسول الله with فتة رسول has فتة why does it have فتة مفعول بي سألت فعل and فعل مفعول بي سألت رسول الله Huh? Rasulullah. Mafulun bi mansub. Pay attention to the voweling, huh? Okay, next question. Udhkur hadithan fi fadli birru walidain. Udhkur hadithan fi fadli birru walidain. Somebody else. Hadith concerning the virtue, excellence, or superiority of being dutiful to parents. Now, Musa.
قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله قال الصلاة على وقتها ثم قال قال بر الوالدين
طيب and the next question similar to the first two أذكر حديثا في فضل الجهاد في سبيل الله. And he mentioned a hadith concerning the excellence, virtue, or superiority of striving in the way of Allah. Somebody else. Naam. Mustafa.
Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Sa'altu Rasulullah.
Radiallahu anhu. Qal.
Sa'altu Rasulullah
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ayul amali. Ayul amali ahabu ilalahi khala as-salatu ala waqtiha kultu summa ayun khala birul walidaini kultu summa ayun khala al-jihadu fi sabilillahi.
Naam, ahsant, attafakun alayhi. Tayyib. This hadith is probably the longest hadith that we had so far. But mashallah, if you look at it, and some of it is repetitious, right? So try to imagine some of the words that you know. It came again. Same kind of order, the same format. قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيُّن قُلْتُ ثُمَّ أَيُّن قَالَ بِرُّ وَالِدَيْن قَالَ جِهَاد فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Try to keep in mind, even though the hadith is a little bit longer than some of the hadith we had previously, but it's manageable, mashallah. And some of us have already memorized it as we are reciting it now in the answer to these questions from memory. Okay, question number 6. من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث? Why did I say هذا الحديث with فتح? Huh? Why are we saying هذا الحديث with فتح? Huh? مفعول به? Huh? هذا اسم إشارة is the مفعول به. And al-hadith is badal. The badal has to take the same ruling as the word that is yani coming as badal for. طيب, what is the meaning of this question? من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث? Who is the companion who narrated this hadith? Yani which hadith? أي العامل أحب إلى الله. ومن المحدث. And the second part of the question, ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. First part of the question, who is the Sahabi? نعم. نعم. عبد الله ابن مسعود هو الذي روى هذا الحديث. نعم. ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. نعم. مرشد. الإمام مسلم, الإمام البخاري, نعم, رحمه الله, نعم, الإمام مسلم, الإمام البخاري. And by the way, most of the Muslim world, except the people in Maghrib, consider that the Sahih al-Bukhari is the most authentic book after the Quran, and Sahih Muslim is second. So al-Imam Bukhari has right to be mentioned first due to the virtue of his book and its superiority over the other books, including Sahih Muslim. Yani as a point of respect. Yani Bukhari, al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, his rank is the first amongst all the collections of hadith. His rank is the first. Naam.
So most of the people except Maghrib, you mean the West or
no? No, and that part of the now al-Maghrib is Morocco, right? But at that time it was the countries in that part of the in that part of the world, not just Morocco, the people in the western part. Naam. So after this, second set of questions. ما معنى على في قوله عليه الصلاة والسلام الصلاة على وقتها? يعني what is the meaning? ما معنى على? What is the meaning of على in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-salatu ala waqtiha. What is the meaning of ala in this statement? Naam, Shu'aib. Naam. Its meaning is what? As-salatu fi waqtiha. The meaning of ala here is fi. Fi waqtiha. Question number 2. Ma ma'na birru walidain wa ma didduhu? Two part question. Ma ma'na birru walidain? What is the meaning of birru walidain? Meaning of birru walidain. So this answer is a little bit lengthy, huh? You got it? Who wants it? Who wants it? Raise your hand. Musa. طاعتهما في المعروف و والإحسان إليهما والإحسان طاعتهما في المعروف يعني obedience to both of them in that which is معروف يعني what is considered to be good in the Sharia of Allah والإحسان إليهما and being good to them kind, generous, humble, submissive, compassionate and so on to the end of what is included there and then the second part of the question وما ددو ما وما ضده. What is the opposite of يعني بر بر والدين? What is the opposite of it? الأقوق. ضده الأقوق. يعني disobedience. Disobedience to parents. Question number 3. ما معنى الوالدين? ما معنى الوالدين? نعم. عبد الحق. عبد الحق just showed up. نعم. نعم الأم والأبو يعني the meaning of والدين يعني ما معنى والدين يعني الوالدان هما الأم والأبو نعم the mother and the father if you said father and mother we accept it no problem by the way he said it is better طيب question number 4 ما معنى الجهاد في سبيل الله ما معنى الجهاد في سبيل الله نعم ها نعم but we need a masdar here يعني قاتلوا is a verb we want a يعني الجهاد is a noun we want a noun to replace it القتالو في سبيل الله keeping in mind that it's not just physical fighting but it's striving in the way of Allah يعني in general طيب number 5 and it means يعني this is a limited meaning القتال في سبيل الله this is a limited meaning and this is probably the meaning that is generally understood if it's just used without any qualification. This is what is generally understood, but there's no doubt that its meaning is greater than this. It's not limited to one affair. So, question number 5, أدخل كل كلمة مما يأتي في جملة مفيدة سألة أي أحب يعني 3 words. أدخل كل كلمة. What does it mean? Enter or utilize each of the words مما يأتي from which what follows في جملة مفيدة in a complete sentence يعني literally in a beneficial sentence but what is understood is what he said a complete sentence a sentence that is considered to be complete in Arabic grammar نعم the first word سأل نعم موسى
سأل عبد الرحمن المدرس
أسئلة
كثيرة
سأل عبد الرحمن المدرس أسئلة كثيرة نعم Grandma asked the teacher many questions. Okay, A. Use the word A in a sentence. Naam, Faiz. Ayyu bal, yani min ayyi baladin anta. Min ayyi baladin anta. And the last word, ahabbu, ahabbu, ahabbu. Naam, naam. هذا الدرس أحب لي من من الدرس في NYU وبروكلين كوليدج sorry John Jay whoever you're studying at no problem now جزاك الله خير okay okay last question ما جمع العمل ما جمع العمل what is the meaning of the question What is the plural of amal? Naam. Naam, fadlu.
Amalu.
Again? I didn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Jamu amal.
Amal. Amal. Naam, amal. Tayyib. Okay, just quickly, I just want to share with you, just very, very quickly, because we don't really have a lot of time now since the Salat is coming in a little bit earlier. But I want to share with you, yani, some of the narrations in brief that mention the things that are most beloved to Allah, other than what we have taken in this class today. Yani, from amongst those narrations is the narration reported by Abu Ya'la, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hasan, أحب الأعمال إلى الله, the most beloved deeds to Allah is إيمان بالله, believing in Allah. ثم صلة الرحم, then what? صلة الرحم, keeping the ties of relations, of blood relations. ثم العمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر, and then enjoining good and forbidding evil. And after this, another hadith of the most beloved deeds to Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said, أحب الأعمال إلى الله, the most beloved deeds to Allah is أن تموت ولسانك رطب من ذكر الله, يعني to die while your tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah, يعني meaning that a person is constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And another hadith which is also reported by Imam Ahmed, and it is Sahih, إن حب الأعمال إلى الله الحب في الله والبغض في الله, يعني that from the most beloved deeds to Allah is يعني الحب في الله, meaning loving someone or something for the sake of Allah, and hating someone or something for the sake of Allah. And finally, from amongst many hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, أحبُّ الأعمال إلى الله أدوامها وإن قلّ, يعني أحبُّ الأعمال إلى الله أدوامها, that which is done constantly, وإن قلّ, even if it is little, or considered to be little or insignificant, but it's what? It's done constantly, done constantly. This is very, very important. And there are many other hadith which mention similar things: the most beloved land, the most beloved speech, the most beloved fasting and salat and food, and the most beloved names, and the most beloved servants of Allah, and so on. There are a lot of authentic hadith concerning this subject. And as we said earlier, what is important is that we should remember that the Prophet ﷺ sometimes answered the same question with different answers. Sometimes he said the most beloved thing to Allah is salat in its time, or dutifulness to parents, or striving in the way of Allah, or iman in Allah, keeping ties of relations, and so on and so on and so on. There are many things that are beloved to Allah. Some of the scholars said different interpretations of why, but the main thing is he said it maybe to different people because of their situation, their circumstance, their needs, or the time, that particular time, this was something that was more important to mention. And some scholars said, and this is a more general answer to the question, is that the meaning of this question is that the Prophet, the answer to the Prophet, when he said, أحب الأعمال إلى الله, the meaning of it is من أحب الأعمال إلى الله, meaning from amongst the most beloved deeds to Allah is this and this and this. And that's why in other hadith he said something else, and another one and a different one. يعني من أحب الأعمال إلى الله, from amongst the most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some of them said that أحبو here means أفضل, or it means that which is not just the best, the most superior, the most virtuous, but that which is virtuous, that which is يعني good and pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love to Allah. Not that one of these is actually better than all the others. Allah knows best which one of them is the best of them. But all of these are from amongst the deeds that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, the sisters have reminded me. Alhamdulillah, I didn't forget. But good reminder. It's helpful. We're going to stop after this a review of the hadith for next week. Hadith number 10 on page 24. The hadith of Uthman. Yani Uthman meaning who? The Khalifa, the third Khalifa of Islam, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu. Yani khayrukum, alaykum salam, the best of you, meaning who are you? Who is the Prophet talking to? He's talking to the Muslims. And he's only the Sahaba at that moment, but it means the Muslim Ummah in general. خيركم, the best of you, the best of the Muslims, is من تعلم القرآن. Is what? من تعلم القرآن. The one who تعلم يعني who learns the Quran. تعلم. The one who learns the Quran وعلمه وعلمه and teaches it. يعني عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. Somebody probably memorized it right now, right? خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. طيب, anybody who didn't recite the hadith from today, today's hadith, not next week's hadith, today's hadith, anybody didn't recite it from memory, from memory, نعم, فضل. Brothers, 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 reciting. Mm-hmm. Anybody else that didn't recite today from memory, memorize the hadith today? Now, Mustafa.
عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله؟ قال الصلاة على وقتها. قلت ثم قال
قلت ثم أي قلت ثم أي
قلت ثم أي بر
قال
قال بر الوالدين. قلت ثم أي قال جهاد الجهاد في سبيل الله. متفق عليه.
أحسنت. Anybody else who didn't recite from memory today wants to recite it from memory now? Murshid.
عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي عمل أحب إلى الله؟ قلت
قال
قال الصلاة على وقتها. قلت ثم أي قال بر الوالدين. قلت ثم أي قال الجهاد في سبيل الله. متفق عليه.
ما شاء الله. أحسن. We're going to close here, but I just want to say that I realize, I'm fully aware that some people sitting here, well, of course the sisters, they can't recite to us, right? But inshallah, reciting to themselves in the sisters' area. I realize that some of the brothers sitting here have memorized the hadith, but some people are nervous in front of other people. So don't think that I'm not aware that there are some people that maybe you're not reciting. I understand that perhaps some people get nervous when they get in front of people, so they're not reciting. So just if 10 people recite it, that doesn't mean only 10 people memorized it. It means that 10 people might not have a problem, yani, speaking in front of other people. And others might have a problem. But we still encourage you, if you can't recite in front of the class, that's okay. But memorize anyway, still memorize. Even if you're not going to recite in the class, memorize the hadith. Because these hadith are very, very important, every one of them. And it's better that we memorize it, so that if we use it to encourage ourselves or our family or our neighbors or whoever we might, yani, spread these sayings of the Prophet ﷺ with, then we can quote them verbatim exactly as the Prophet ﷺ said it, not the general meaning of it. And sometimes when people quote hadith for the meaning, they add something that's not there and they take away something that is there and they twist the meanings. So if you memorize it, you're safe from the threat of hellfire for the person who narrates something from the Prophet ﷺ that is not true. You are safe from that threat of hellfire for narrating something from the Prophet ﷺ that's not true. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.